And on the line I have Deputy Paul Donnelly, and I'm getting all tongue-tied here. Good morning, Deputy Donnelly, how are you?
Good morning, Michael. How are you keeping?
Not too bad. The whole morning I'm getting tongue-tied over things. I don't know what the hell is going on.
It's
just one of those days. Now, you put down a question in the Dáil this week around increasing funds for Pubble help increase the basic wage. Maybe you tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, there's a stream of funding that Pubble give out every year to around 400 projects. And basically it's for full-time workers in areas such as community centres and social enterprises, Meals on Wheels, all of those types of organisations. However, what they do is they only give out enough of funding to cover €9.69 of the salary. And obviously we know that the minimum wage is €10.10. So the concept is that the projects themselves and the social enterprises have to make up the rest to make it to minimum wage. Now, some do go beyond that and they pay the actual living wage. But I suppose for me, I was at a recent community centre AGM in my community in Dublin 15 in Huntstown. And obviously, you know, pre-COVID, people were coping with the fact that they had to bring it up to that level, up to the minimum wage. Some obviously who were doing fairly okay and weren't able to bring it up to the living wage. But post-COVID, they are deeply, deeply concerned because many of the income streams that they would have had, for example, they may have a cafe, they may have rooms that they let, they may sublet to organisations like Faroga, community creches, etc., and that brings in streams of funding. We know all of those now are going to be under threat with social distancing and with the way that we have to operate into the near future. So I suppose what I was calling for was that at the very, very minimum that the funding is increased for those organisations up to the minimum wage. And I suppose what I was calling for was alternatively just to bring it up to the actual living wage, because obviously some people, if it was only brought up to the minimum wage, which is €10.10, there are some who are being paid the living wage who would actually lose income. So it's a really, really serious issue, and people are deeply concerned that, you know, they may have reserves of cash or funding to be able to cover them up to the end of 2020. However, they know that their streams of funding for 2021 will be absolutely decimated.
This is my belief anyway, that there is a false notion out there that keeping people's wage, what you pay people down, that you know you're making more money, and they. If you think of the type of society we live in the capitalist system, and if you just think about that a little, and you say to yourself, well, if you actually pay people a bit more, they can actually spend more.
Yeah.
So you absolutely actually make more money, and like this is nothing new. One of the biggest capitalists around would have been Ford, who started the Ford company. But he realised he had to pay his workers enough that they could afford to buy one of his cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. It's nothing socialist I'm talking here. You know, this is just common sense.
You know, I think it's just common sense, and I agree with you 100%. And that, you know, people who are on low incomes, you know, they are the people who spend the most of their income. Why? Because they don't have very much left over for luxuries or for savings or for investments or any of those different things. So, you know, the if we're paying people a living wage, it is what it says on the tin. It's a living wage. It's not something that's exorbitant. It's not something that people are able to, you know, start to invest in stocks and shares and buy properties and second properties and, you know, foreign holidays and all this. It is a living wage. And, you know, what I found most shocking about the funding that was being paid by Pubble was the fact that they didn't even cover the minimum wage. And I know that, you know, built into this scheme, there is an expectation that the social enterprises will have their own funding streams. But look, as I said, if you take a community centre that has a cafe, if you had 10 tables in that cafe, they're probably going to operate with four. If you have 5 rooms in that, they're probably only able to operate maybe one or two of them, because obviously social distance will make it uneconomical for organisations to book into those smaller rooms. So your local community environmental group or your residents association who book the room in on a regular basis, you know, if you're fitting eight or 10 people into a room, that's going to go down to maybe 4 people. So they're not going to do that. They're going to look for a bigger room. And if you don't have the facilities for those bigger rooms, you're not going to get that business of those people who are looking to rent those rooms. So those smaller rooms are going to go to waste. Also, the likes of Faroga, the likes of the community creches, all of those, their funding is going to be under severe pressure because, again, they're going to have to look for bigger spaces, or they cut the numbers of young people or children coming into their centres. So, the knockback on all of this, the sad thing is we know, you know, we're not talking about this as potential. We know this is going to happen. Why? Because the instructions given out by NPHET is that we have to do social distancing. If we do social distancing, then all of these measures are going to have to be put in place as the community centres, as these social enterprises ramp up. And that's without even, I mean, one of the figures we were given for even PPE gear for the staff that they take in is somewhere in the region of around 5,000 towards the end of the year. If you were talking about, you know, 2021, where their income streams are going to be absolutely decimated, they're going to be increased costs for PPE. And, you know, there's one project that I'm involved in as well, whereby it's a frontline drug service that delivers to the most vulnerable older drug users in the Dublin 15 area. And they were given a box of masks by the HSE. And that the only funding that they've gotten from the HSE at the moment is, from around PPE gear, is from Fingal County Council, where they've got €1,000 for PPE equipment. Now, I find it utterly bizarre that we have a local authority who is given frontline community services €1,000 when the HSE have clearly indicated to me in a parliamentary question that I had asked of the Minister for Health, were they providing equipment? And they said, no, only for HSE services and not services that would be providing frontline services. So, you know, this is going to cross the board. Anybody who's on the frontline community-related services are in big trouble. You know, just even without in terms of the income that people are providing. You know, so you know they're very, very, very worrying times. You know, and I've had community centre managers and coordinators and people who are on management committees. These are voluntary people. And they're basically saying, look, we're staying up late at night worrying how in the name of God are we going to get this over the line for the next 6 months or the next year. They just can't see a way out of this unless they get a substantial package from the government in relation to salaries, in relation to PPE equipment, in relation to repurposing their buildings, all of those different things. And, you know, as I said to the Minister, community centres and frontline services are the lifeblood of our community. It's what makes us tick. We have a wonderful, wonderful volunteerism ethos in this country, and that needs to be backed now more than ever.
You're totally correct on that. And the thing is, if you don't back the volunteers now, you're going to have to deal with the problems with the people that they're supporting at the moment. You're going to have to deal with them. The HSE is going to have to deal with them. And it's going to cost them a hell of a lot more.
Without a doubt. I mean, as I said, I've been involved in many projects over the last 25, 30 years. And I know how much it costs. I know how much, if you're pegging your service, in particularly in terms of cost, if you're pegging your salary scales to the HSE, then they start, you know, good money, there's no doubt about it. And I do believe that people who have a professionalism and expertise in a particular field, you should be paid for that. You should be paid well for that particular expertise. When you're asking communities to peg your salaries at the HSE, but you're not paying them that same salary, and you're not giving them the funding to cover that same salary, you know, there's a huge hypocrisy here. And make no mistake about it, if those services do not open up, then the state will have to pick up the cost of that. And I think one of the interesting points that one of the coordinators raised with me was they have a cafe, and our worry was not about turnover. Our worry was not about, you know, how we gonna, you know, do all of this. Our worry was about, you know, the guy who comes in the morning time, grabs his cup of coffee and his breakfast, stays there for an hour or so, has a chat with all of the staff. They all know the person. He comes in every single day, and there's multiples of them. And they're the only people they most likely will see that day. When they go home, they close that door, and then there's nobody else that they speak to that day. And if that cafe is not there, where do they go? You know, and, you know, there's a social cost, there's a physical cost, and there's an emotional cost, and there's a mental health cost to all of these. I would say that the government are getting away really, really likely, and they've been getting away really, really likely in the provision of those really essential services for communities heretofore. And I think if they just cannot get away with it anymore. They just really have to dig deep. We're bailing out so many businesses, and that's right. We're helping small and medium enterprise businesses. We only have to go back to a very short term time in memory when we bailed out banks and developers to the tune of $62 billion. It's time now for the people to be bailed out.
You're totally correct, and like, there have been studies done previously on the value of charities and volunteers to society and how much money it actually saves the economy.
So it's enormous. It's
absolutely phenomenal what's there. Yep. I know the largest provider of residential drug treatment, drugs and alcohol rehabilitation treatment in this country, is is a charity called Coonwira.
Yeah,
it does its work very much under the radar. You don't hear very much about them, but they're absolutely enormous. Mm. Now, they run the whole organisation. They're in, you know, they've got five, I think, treatment centres around the country. They've got around 10 or 12 step-down facilities around the country. Yep. You name it, they've got it. They work on a fraction of the cost that it would if it was HSE run.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting thousands
in fact,
of people
I would contend that it probably couldn't be run in the way and the manner that they run it if it was run by the HSE, because so many people give so much of themselves, their time, their energy, the commitment in a completely voluntary way, that if you were to put a cost on that, and I think sometimes that, you know, as a state, they don't really value time and energy and the heart and commitment that's given by people freely. You know, or even some people who work in the likes of the community centres who get, you know, the minimum wage or the living wage. There's no, we've never done really a cost-benefit analysis on, you know, the value of those people to society and how much it would cost if you were to put a cost on that in monetary terms. You know, I always worked for TUSLA and HSE, and I've worked in the community as well. And, you know, we get lovely buzzwords every now and again called value for money. And, you know, it permeates through every document when you're looking for funding. But they very rarely put a value on the sort of the individual who goes way above and beyond what their job description is to help people. And if we could only capture that, we'd be the richest country in the world. Because Ireland has it in absolute spades. And I think the danger is that if we don't start to value that in terms of COVID, in terms of trying to keep all of those operations open, we're going to pay a really, really heavy cost. And we know through recession that when you bring in austerity, when you really affect those people and those communities on the ground, there is a much, much longer cost to the community, and it takes the community a very long time to recover from something like that. So we have it within our own memory what it's like when we have a recession, when we have austerity, when we have communities that are cut by massive amounts. We know that. We've experienced it even within this generation. And I think the lesson has to be learned that we cannot go down that road again. We have to invest now to keep those services open. And we have to invest in those people who keep those services open.
Deputy Donnelly, you know, I can't argue with you. I have to say I fully agree with you. There's no, to me, it's just common sense. And if I look at, if I put, as the man says, I put my business hat on it, it's a no-brainer. Put the Absolutely. Money in early. It saves yep. you money in the long run.
Absolutely. As I say, if you had a problem with a property and you let it go, the longer you let it go, the more expensive it is to fix.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
Deputy, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to have a chat with us.
You're
this
very
morning.
Welcome, Michael.
Or this afternoon, I should say.
Yeah. Listen, have a great weekend.
And you too, sir. All the best.
Okay. Take care.
Salam. Bye-bye. Now, there we go. That was Deputy Paul Donnelly. And he was chatting to us there about the question he put down to the government about increasing funding to Pubble so that they could not just increase, but bring the funding that they're getting are giving to charities and volunteers up to the basic minimum wage.